Welcome to this week's edition of Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that has not watered the pitch ahead of recording. Thanks for joining us. I am Graham Brown, and this week I am joined by a regular columnist, Kieran Dudek.
Hiya, Graham. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And I think for the first time ever, West Midlands football royalty, Greg Evans. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Graham. Very happy to be here.
Well, it's exciting times that we have you on board. So, Greg is probably best known as writer for Villa, but he's covering he covers all of our clubs and has lots of insight into all of them as we're about to find out. This week, we're going to talk all about Darren Moore. He's the man of the moment. He's certainly proving to be better than Alan Pardew, and on that basis, making him a human. But he's doing very well for the Albion. We're going to have a look back at the Liverpool game. We're going to talk about the idea of Darren Moore being the next Albion manager, and just have a little look at about what he had to say about Jay Rodriguez, which I think is another interesting point. So, the Liverpool game, Kieran, what did you think?
Obviously an improvement, and never side our attitude. Do you know what is concerning though? The defence, it isn't. There's no. They're not really concentrating. They're losing concentration every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the first, we could have won that game, I think. Other than, I think the Danny Ings goal was a bit embarrassing from an Albion.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, they had three chances to clear the ball. So I think that's still an issue. But when you look at where we were before Darren Moore took over, it's like a different, it's watching a different team, isn't it? So
it'd be remiss of me not to point out the performance of Jake Livermore the week after I named him as a player that we're supposed to keep. Have you been won over by Jake Livermore from that 90 minutes?
I have. Do you know what? As good as he was against Man United, he actually looked like a different player against Liverpool. He was controlling midfield like he was. Well, he weren't a player I've watched for the last 9 months, put it that way.
It's almost like Alan Pardew didn't know what he's doing. But I think it makes a good point, Greg. I think it's been said a lot before about the role of Evans in making Hagazi look like anything like a Premier League defender. I think you could probably throw Gibbs into that. You could certainly throw Dawson into that. And then the balance shifts a bit with him out of the team. And then you think about over the summer whether you're going to lose Gibbs and so on. I mean, what do you think about that makeup of the Albion defence now and potentially next season?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I like the look of the Albion defence at the moment. I think it's going to be completely obliterated over the summer. Yeah. Evans is obviously going to go. He's going to have his choice of clubs, which is incredible, really. He's had a bad season.
He's had an awful season.
I mean, he's just, you know, let's be honest, he's a decent player. We know that. We've seen it over the years. But he's had a bad season, the bottom of the league. He's played almost every game, and he's partly to blame for it. Yeah, every bloody club in the country won him.
Yeah. Harry doesn't want to go to Arsenal.
You know, so, I mean, look, fair play. If you can get it, then, you know, take it on. He's shown over the years that he's a solid defender. Maybe this year he's just been part of a bad team in a bad setup, and it hasn't worked out. I think Craig Dawson's probably been Albion's most consistent player over the course of the season. I'd have him down as probably my player of the season.
Yeah.
I think he's West Bromwich Albion's best centre half, best defender. I think that the clubs in the Premier League should be looking at him more than Johnny Evans, to be honest. And I think they will.
Well, terrifyingly, both have clauses. So, yeah. It's kind of on the horizon.
So, yeah, I mean, whether Albion can keep hold of Gaza, you know, let's hope so. That can build some sort of stability.
Where do you land on Hagazi? So I think it's good. We this podcast has become a bit of a Hagazi moan fest because, as it happens, neither me nor Kieran like him. But we need some balance. I mean, what how do you find him?
Yeah, up and down, really. I think that he's probably better as a backup centre half.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have seen maybe Dawson and Evans together a bit more.
Yes,
that would have been interesting. If the two of them had played together, could the results have been a little bit different? You know, I don't know. But going back to Hagazi, I think he's probably Albion's third best defender.
Funny enough, the thing I have to say about Hagazi is he strikes me as a defender that would work in a back three, but not a back two. I know in the past you've rightly pointed out that actually that central back three role requires concentration, which is really his concern. But you've had this kind of, Albion have really had a history of these kind of big, bulky defenders that work great in a back three, Darren Moore being one of them, Thomas Gard, so, but you put them in a back two and they look kind of more questionable. And we've had this endless theme of Johnny Evans has been kind of digging him out. I have often thought that if Albion ever go to back three, it might just prolong Hagazi's career, particularly in the Championship potentially. What do you think about another player that constantly comes up here is Rondon? I mean, obviously, sitting in a good vein of form, he's one player that you could probably say improved under Pardew. And would you want to see him there next year? It's him or 17 million quid. What would you prefer?
Yeah, I mean, well, look, I think these strikers like Rondon. They come and go. I think that he can pick up another Rondon similar for the same sort of price that Albion paid for him. But at the same time, he scored, what, he's into double figures now, isn't he, in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Rodriguez, the same, has got 11 goals. So, for a struggling team, that both strikers have got hit double figures, which, you know, you've got to say fair play to them in a way. They haven't performed exceptionally well, but for strikers who haven't really had much service, especially under Pulis, they've gone and hit double figures in a season.
I think that's it. You're the ideal person to ask this as someone who watches a lot of Championship football, and hopefully will someone who continue to watch Championship football next year if you're following Villa. How do you think they compare? I was looking at the top scorers in the Championship of the day, and everyone was in their Championship team of the year, and I think, Christ, none of those strikers are getting our team. I mean, how do you think Rondon and Rodriguez compare to the top, Vidra and...
I think they would absolutely tear it up. Rondon and Rodriguez as a pairing, I think they would tear it up. They would tear up the division. I think one of the players that is quite similar to Rondon in some respects, I think, is Lewis Grabban at Villa.
Yes.
Who's obviously on loan at Villa from Bournemouth, played for Sunderland in the first half of the season. He's got 19 goals. Now, from watching him, I think he's actually a better player than I thought he was before. Mm-hmm. But Rondon is much better than Grabban, and I think he'd get more goals than him.
Really?
And when you look at the top goal scorers in the Championship this season, got Vidra who's up there, had a great season. Terrible for Albion, wasn't he? Didn't do anything.
Yeah, and I think I've seen enough of him to know he's a limited player. I mean, he's had a good season, but I still don't think he'd go into the Premier League and do anything.
No, well, this is it. I mean, he's had his chance in the Premier League, hasn't he? He hasn't really shown that he's that type of player. But if you look at Rodriguez and Rondon, as I say, I'm going back to it again, but they've hit double figures in the Premier League, so I think they'll at least double their tally in the Championship.
So we're going to come back to Rodriguez later on in the podcast because he's a talking point at the moment. But to get back to the Liverpool game, so we had that what will become an infamous rant from Jurgen Klopp at the end of it. Kieran, what are your thoughts on Jurgen Klopp at the moment?
Do you know the best thing about that argument? Our two goals actually came when it was raining. So.
that is insight.
I just don't understand what it is. And the other thing was, Liverpool build-up play wasn't exactly quick. I mean, other than Salah's goal and one or two other occasions, they were really slow through the middle. So I don't buy that argument at all. I think he's just blaming everyone but himself.
You got any time for Jurgen Klopp, Greg?
I've got time for him as a manager. I think what he said about Albion's a bit out of order. It sounds like he's a really bitter, sour loser, to be honest. And
yes.
I'll be cheering for Roma tonight because of that.
A lot of people are making the same point on social media. That it seems slightly class that kind of a little time on from Albion tearing up the seats and the ground and putting in red seats. You know, the next time they come, you get that from a Liverpool manager. And being honest, I mean, don't get me wrong, Albion are going down, but they don't need the points any more than we do, really. They're not going to finish top, and they're going to finish in the top four. We're going to finish bottom. what point was he ever really making? You know, and he's not the first one. We had the not shaking hands with Tony Pulis and stuff as well. I've got to say, he's someone who grates on me, you know, from an Albion perspective.
He doesn't moan too much, does he? You don't see him moaning too much about silly things like the pitch. I mean, that's the worst thing. That's the worst excuse I've heard all season.
Although sometimes you get this, like managers, there's kind of that kind of common view on them. And yet, if you were to boil it down, every other rival club, you know, like, a bit like Sam Allardyce, you know, there's kind of a national view that he's sort of a bloke, and you know, he likes to drink and blah blah blah. But actually, if you were to ask anyone at any club, they'd have some reason to dislike him. And I think Klopp might be like, I don't know, I'm surmising this, but I just wonder if you went to everyone, he's probably been rude about everyone. It's just it was funnier to talk about his bouncy celebration. And anyway, while we talk about Klopp, so this is the audio that we took from him from his rant after.
And we let the home team decide if they water the pitch or not. It's not only for football, it's also dangerous for injuries if the pitch is not, if it really dry, it's difficult. So, but it's all like this. I wouldn't have talked, to be 100% honest, I wouldn't have I would have said nothing about that, probably, if you would have won. But it's all what you see during the game. We are in charge. We try to do not a brilliant game, but a for sure good enough game to win here in a difficult situation. They won last week, United, full of confidence. Finally accepted that, obviously the whole club accepted that they probably will play championship next year, so crowd was behind the team. It all makes life a little bit more difficult, but I thought really we deal well with it. Very few changes. We had the boys who came in, they all can play better, but they don't have rhythm, eh? So and that's normal, and I thought they did really well. Until the end, you need always in life a little bit of luck, and obviously we didn't have a little bit of luck, not even the little bit of luck today, and that's why it's now a draw, and now we have to take it and let's carry on.
So so back to Darren Moore, this is why we're here today. So should Darren Moore be Albion's next manager, or should he be in the running? Kieran, what do you think?
Well, he's obviously helped his chances, hasn't it? I think that with Albion, we've tried the tried and tested, and it hasn't worked. So maybe it is time to try something different. I think the club was struggling because of there was such a disconnection between the fans and the board. There was apathy amongst the players as much as the fans as well. And I think he's come in, he's got, it's very rare you're going to get a manager with such a wealth for the club. I mean, he's local, he's from Handsworth. He played, he scored the goal that took us to the Premier League in the first place. Mm-hmm. And he loves the club, and I just, my only concern with him is this is the biggest turnover of players the club's going to go through in about 20 years, I think.
Yeah.
With his experience, is he the right man to do it? Mm. And it's not just that. The love he's got for the club and the fans have got for him. Say if it went wrong and we get rid of him.
So
it's not fair, is it?
So for the real, I mean, just to absolutely reiterate what you said, I think exactly the same. So I've said many times on this podcast before that ignore the fact that someone has played for a team before, I said it about Appleton and McKinsey, is not a factor for me. It's not a factor. Darren Moore does slightly move this, and if you were to, for instance, say that Darren Moore is going to be the next Albion manager and Gary Megson is going to be the next assistant manager, I would probably bounce around alongside everyone else. I don't think it's going to happen, but I could probably get on board with that. But I think you're right. I think the next role is, I think a lot of things about the next role. Firstly, I think the next person manager that Albion recruit will probably be sacked in the next 6 months, and that's a shame. I think the next manager Albion get is there Roberto Di Matteo. We'll come to you in a minute, Greg, because you know more about that than anyone. And I think history says that, you know, we're going down with expectations of being one of the better teams and so on, when actually we're going to have our squad ravaged. We've just got rid of Richard Garland. We'd already got rid of our chairman and chief executive. We haven't got a manager. There's every reason to think we'd struggle. And actually, being honest, overperformance next year has probably been in the top half, but that doesn't accord to the expectation of fans. For that reason, I think the next manager will be sacked. I think it'd be a shame if that was Darren Moore. The argument for him, and again, I don't think it should be him, is that when we talk about the turnover place, he might ameliorate that a bit. Let's use Rondon as an example. I don't think Rondon's going to stay, but the most likelihood he would stay is if Darren Moore was there, I'd guess. And I'd say the same thing with Livermore. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in Dawson, potentially. A lot of these players, I still think they'll probably go, and again, be interested to see what you think about this, Greg. But I think if there's any chance, if Albion want to build around an idea of let's keep our squad and go up again next season, he's probably the most interesting candidate from that perspective.
He's probably the most loved bloke at the club, isn't he?
Yeah.
Especially amongst the players.
And historically.
That's the argument why, I know it's Manchester United and Liverpool, but this bounce he's given us is because he's so loved.
Yeah.
You know, there's no proof that it's on his technical ability, because it's been two games, so I think we're going above ourselves, really.
That said, you get a lot of feedback from people who say that everything's a lot better organised under Pardew, but I think that says more about Pardew than it does about me. So, Greg, what do you think? Should Darren Moore be our next manager, or should he be in the running?
He should definitely be in the running. Look, let's not rule him out of it at all. Albion need experience somewhere in high positions.
Yeah.
Definitely, when they get relegated to the Championship, and let's be honest, it's inevitable, isn't it? Now, mm-hmm. They're going to need some experienced heads in there. Now, Darren Moore, as lovely as a bloke as he is, and as much as he's got a bounce from the players in current weeks, he's not got that experience. So, Albion will need to look at if they are considering appointing him as their manager, they need to get some sort of experience alongside him.
Yeah.
Whether that will be in the form of an experienced director of football and an experienced chairman, to do the running of the day-to-day club, or an experienced assistant manager. That could be the way. Clearly, he's had some sort of an impact, and I think it'd be wrong to rule him out because I don't, I'm with you, Graham. I don't buy into the fact that because he was a good player and because he did well for the club before, he can immediately be a good manager and good for the club. But look, he knows the club. That is the natural progression for him. He's been working with the under-23s. I think we're not giving... he's Jamaican, yeah, but okay. We're not giving British-based players and former players a chance, are we?
Yeah.
You know, he's been based in England all his life, so I'm clashing with British rather than Jamaican. But we're not giving these British-based managers a chance, are we? We're very quick to pull them in from abroad.
And, yeah.
And look, you know, he's done his time in the trenches. He's studied his badges. He's worked with the young kids. He knows the kids coming through. It might be a good time for him, but I mean, would Darren Moore settle for a place as number two like Michael Appleton does at Leicester?
Yeah.
You know, would he be in a good place to be that man?
My best guess is he would. I'm just thinking about that as you said it. There's another strand to that, I guess, which is that if you were to ask me my favourite thing about Albion ever, and I didn't see it, but my favourite thing about Albion is probably that 3 degrees era and the role that the club played in changing football. Do you have any degree of thoughts along that line about how about the idea of having a black manager, about the idea of it being in a crisis at the moment, black management, and the idea that Albion would almost, that they wouldn't play the role they played before, but that we'd be it would be solving a problem in the same way as we solved a problem before? Would that factor into your thought at all?
It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it, for Darren Moore to encourage an influx of black managers, because we are missing them clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
There are more white managers than blacks, you know, than black managers. It's incredible, but you know, it'd be great for Darren Moore to be almost a, you know, as a pioneer of that.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic bloke. You know, no one will ever say a bad word about him. He's from the area that I'm from, Solihull. So I see him regularly, interact with him regularly. I know that his church community think very highly of him. So you know, if he does get the job, he's not going to a nicer bloke.
Everyone always says the same thing about he's humbling, and it is like meeting Darren Moore. I really do feel like it's an experience. You kind of don't forget it. It's this big, massive bloke, but
lovely guy.
So on that point, Albion as a kind of pioneer of black players, and now again, I'm not calling them pioneer of black managers, but you know, being part of that. Do you have any resonance for that at all?
I think obviously the club prides itself on the role of a player, but they fell into it. They didn't plan it, did they?
No.
So I think to base a decision around him being, you know, one of few black managers would be a disservice to him. I think, you know, Albion, the local community is very ethnically diverse.
Mm-hmm.
It'd inspire a lot of kids. It'd be great for the club. I just think that shouldn't be in anyone's mind. I think they should base, especially how well he's done, I think we should base it on the fact that he's, you know, like I said, he's worked towards his badges.
Yeah.
He's done his time with the under-23s. I think that should govern that decision more.
No, I think you're absolutely right. So, I mean, I'm about to... I have not given you 1 second to prepare for this question, but it just struck me while you're here, you know, someone who covered Villa as they went down and coming back, going through the same process. So you've been with that club at the same point as Albion are about to go through this. What do you think are the big pitfalls for Albion now in the next season in the Premier League? Is it in the Championship? Is it like massive turnover of players? Is it what are the things Villa did wrong that Albion need to learn from?
Yeah, well, I'll move on to Villa ever so soon after, but I'll just look back at Albion's previous relegations. Now they had people on board that knew what they were doing, sort of when Albion were going up and down, and were known as that yo-yo club.
It was part of the plan, wasn't it? Almost.
Yeah. Those guys have moved on, haven't they? So it's a completely different regime now. If I look back at Albion, when I remember when they got relegated previously, sold the likes of Kumas, Curtis Davis. A couple of other players as well, and I always remember looking at those players. They never went on to do anything better after they left Albion. Now, will this be a case with the current squad that they've got? Will they offload players and they never ever get any better than they have been at Albion? Interesting. We'll never know with that, you know, until it obviously happens. But with Villa, looking at when Villa got relegated, they had to. It was a mass exodus. They cleared out all the deadwood. All the players that underperformed in the Premier League. Villa had gone down the route of buying players from abroad and from France and from Spain in particular, and trying to make that work. It didn't work, they had to get rid of them. When you look at a lot of Albion players, a lot of them are British based, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So
if they can keep that core together, then I think they might be okay like in previous years. But if they do lose a lot of their players, the key is to get a couple of experienced players in, try and blend some of the youth players in that have had a little bit of a taste of it already, but not rely too much on it. I think it is all about experience. Look, Villa, Albion are going to struggle those first couple of months.
Yes.
Because of the turnover of squad. It happened to Middlesbrough this season. They got relegated, lost a lot of players, bought a lot of players in, didn't hit the ground running, and are now struggling to make the playoffs. Villa were the same last year, finished 13th in the end. Just because they get relegated from the Premier League, it used to be the time, when you look back at Steve Bruce's time when he was manager of Birmingham City, for example, when they got relegated, Bruce would simply buy the best players in the Championship or League One, and then that'd be enough to get them up. It's not now. The Championship's such a level playing field.
Yes.
So many good teams in there with so much money. I mean, you look at, for example, this season, Fulham or Villa, one of them two are going to stay down, so they're going to be a strong competitor next season. Then you've got all the other teams that are in and around the playoffs, Middlesbrough and Derby. They all can't go up, so they're all going to be strong next season with a lot of money behind them.
Yeah.
And then you've got the two other Premier League clubs going down with Albion. Southampton, if they go down, they're notorious for producing young kids.
Stoke are in a brilliant position to bounce back. They've got independent wealth.
And it's just going to be such a slog for Albion. They need to, which is why I firmly believe they need to have experience to get them through.
No, I'd absolutely agree. So while we talk about Darren Moore, one of the things I wonder if he's not doing, which would be an irony really where he's come from, is progressing towards next season well enough. So all of us accept Albion are going down. In fact, I think we'd all probably accept it happens this weekend, but it'll happen soon. In the meantime, we haven't seen any of Sam Field, Jonathan Lico, Harper. We're not seeing these players on the pitch. I've talked before that I think he's doing certain things that probably will bode well for the future, Livermore being an example. You know, if we can make some sense of him, he'd be a brilliant advantage. But what do you think, given that we can write off these games, as Jurgen Klopp points out to us, should we be seeing these players?
The reason why Moore's done so well is he didn't write us off.
Yes. Yeah.
I think everyone's assumed we're down for a good 3 months now, and it showed in the performances. And Moore's come in, he said, one game at a time, we're not relegated yet. And look at the performance we made. So I think to knock him for giving kids a chance looking to head to next season is wrong, because he still hasn't given up on this season, and that's the right way to go about it.
He's
given us a bit of pride, even if, well, when we do go down. So you can't really knock him for trying to get points out of every game.
Yeah.
Because this season's still ongoing, we haven't got the red eye yet, so why give up?
What do you think, Greg?
Very good point, actually, that Kieran makes there. Yeah, I remember doing Darren Moore's first press conference at, before the Swansea game, and all he was focusing on, there were so many questions fired at him about what lies in store for the future, what lies in store for you in the future, what's happening with the club, why has it all gone wrong, and all his focus was on the Swansea game.
Yeah,
and that's been the same for every press conference. His focus was then on the Man United game, then it was on the Liverpool game, and you know, he hasn't lost yet.
Yes.
It's frustrating.
The guy hasn't lost as a manager. It's crazy. He must be on top of the world, but in some ways. But at the same time, he does feel that, you know, he's been around that club all season when it's been going wrong, so he knows that it's been a bad place to be at. What was the question? the kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to go back on the, mention Aston Villa so much in this podcast, but again, it's a very similar situation to when Villa got relegated. Eric Black was the manager at the time, who was called in to take charge of the last seven games at Villa. Darren Moore's had the same situation at Albion, and I remember at the time all the Villa fans calling, just play the kids. The first team have been useless all season. Play the kids. He didn't. He played a couple of them, and you know, for whatever reason, it didn't work out for Villa. They hardly got another point anyway. I think what Moore's got to be thinking of is a bit of everything. He'll be thinking collectively about his points accumulation. Mm-hmm. Whether he wants to be manager in the future, doesn't he?
So, yeah.
the fact that he's got five points from four games and he's unbeaten, that, you know, he wants to put his strongest team out. He'll know all about Field and Lecco because he's trained them and worked with them every day for the under-23s, but I think he'll only introduce them when he feels it necessary.
No, I think that's right. And I think that's probably something I didn't say that Darren Moore's done for next season, which is probably the most important thing he can do, which is that, you know, at the end of a run of 29 games with one win, he's amended that run, and that's probably the most important thing you can bounce into next season. So I've got two clips here from Darren Moore, which perfectly segues us into the next bit of the podcast, which is to talk about Jay Rodriguez. So first is him answering the question about whether or not he wants the manager's job and what he thinks about that, and the second is what he had to say about Jay Rodriguez.
The when I came in and stepped in, it was the remainder games, six games was left, and as I said, I'll just continue working with the boys. You know, I'm first team coach, been asked to step into this position, and I'm working with the lads. They've been excellent, as they always are. It's probably not something that I can comment after six games, because there's a lot of hurdles before anything like that. So all I'm just looking at, and I think the rightful thing for us all here at the football club to do, is just focus on the Swansea game. Like anything in time, time will take care of the rest. Delighted for Jay. Really, really pleased for him in what's been a difficult week for him. But for him to get the goal, he's shown his class and character. I thought he showed his composure when having to deal with it off the field. And he's been a huge player for us, and we at the football club have supported him and stood by him, and we're just pleased that it's something that he can put to rest now and continue the good form that he's showing.
As much as he's tried to carry on, can you sense that a weight has now been lifted from his shoulders?
Yeah, absolutely. For Jay, really is. You know, I speak on Jay as an individual. He's a wonderful man with integrity, honesty, and he's sincere, really. And I'm really pleased for him. His form's continued, and as I said, you know, it's something that he can lay to rest now and continue with the remaining games.
Okay, so that's great. So let's have a talk about Jay Rodriguez now. Then he's in form. He's a guy who's competing at Premier League level. He's a guy who I think doesn't have a clause, and he's a guy who his agent on this podcast previously has said he's not looking to leave. That said, we've reported in the past few days of Burnley's interest, which we know to have been concrete in the past. So I think it's very, very likely you're going to get Premier League interest in Jay Rodriguez. So the first question I'd ask you two is, would you accept selling Jay Rodriguez at any price?
I like him. I think he's hit some decent form. I'd like to see him stay now, but it's difficult, isn't it? It's going to be so hard to keep him, I think, because if you look at from New Year's Eve, he's scored eight goals now, so in all competitions, which is not a bad turnaround, really. I think there'll be Premier League clubs looking at him. He's obviously played in the Premier League, done it in both divisions. It could be great for Albion if they could keep him.
Yeah.
Because what you got to think, Graham, if they sell him, they've then got to find someone who's better than him.
Yeah. And keep banging on about the spine. We're going to lose Evans and Dawson probably. We'd hope to lose Barry. We're certainly going to lose Kukoviak. You're likely to lose Rondon. You're not going to keep Sturridge. Right down that middle, you're losing players, and Rodriguez just adds to that list. So, and I think you're right.
Because you think of the strikers, say it's how Robson Kanu's been linked with what Olympiacos has needed in this week.
Please, God.
I mean, we don't know what will happen with him. Then you've got Rondon. Rodriguez could potentially lose all three.
Yeah,
and it's like your strikers. You're only as good as your strikers are in the Championship. I think you need four solid strikers as the top clubs show. You know, look at Wolves this season getting promoted. They got a phobia in January to enhance what they already had.
Yeah. And Cardiff bought Medine £6 million without playing. You need that kind of backup. So what do you think, Kieran? Is there a price for Jay Rodriguez? Should there be the absolute core of it that they don't lose him?
So I think it is the most important player to keep, just because, I mean, I'm repeating myself, but all year when he's gone in, he's hit a run of form and he gets dropped out of the team. I just don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
He could have had so many more goals this season if he had a run. Not just that, he's the most natural goal scorer. And then when you're playing behind in a three, he's the one bringing the midfield up to meet Rondon, who he's so far apart without him. It'd just be so, the diversity of him as well in the Championship, because you're going to get injuries. He's just, we can't afford to lose him, but with him being a Burnley lad, I've got a whole feeling he's going to.
So I think, especially with them in the UEFA Cup and so on, I think that's right. That's the principal thing I would say. I've said it before, so I'll equally repeat myself, is that when you've got a new manager coming in, Jay Rodriguez is one player, almost more than any player I've ever known play for Albion. He can play in so many positions that it's inconceivable that manager couldn't find use in him. He can play wide. I might be overstating this. I have a habit of doing this. I can't ever remember anyone bridging that gap between midfield and attack as well as he's done in the last few games.
No,
it's incredible that he is a functioning midfielder, a functioning striker. I don't even know he manages to do it. He runs a lot. That's
exactly
the case.
Exactly what we missed last season, anyway.
Yeah,
last half.
Be very Albion winning season. So let's say, let's put it another way. What is the price that is acceptable to lose Jay Rodriguez? If you had to, what's the figure?
It's just so difficult with fees these days, isn't it? You never know who's worth what anymore.
Yeah.
The fees are just so ridiculous. I think the way I simply look at it is, if you sell Rodriguez, you then have to get a replacement.
Yeah.
So whatever money you're getting for him, you've got to look to be able to get two strikers in replacement. I'd say.
Yeah, no, I'd absolutely agree.
And then how do you get a striker? Because you've got like Scott Hogan, Aston Villa's going for 12 million. You've got Gary Medin, 6 million.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Britt Assombalonga, what was he, 13-14 million? You know, a standard Championship striker now for a top half team is 14-15 million.
So with all that in mind, with the UEFA Cup team cooking for him, there were 10 sides, of which I think 8 were Premier League teams wanted him when Albion bought him. I think his stock should have gone up. I'm going to throw it out there, we shouldn't be selling for less than 25 million quid.
It's got to be as mad as it sounds.
Yeah.
Million
and he doesn't score goals.
Yeah.
Rodriguez is easily 20, isn't it? Especially
well,
when the fact that he's English is a big selling point as well.
Yeah.
And he's an international. Well, it was an international.
Well, on the infinitesimal likelihood that Jay Rodriguez is one of the thousands of people that listen to this podcast, I'd say, Jay, please stay, Jay.
please stay.
You can come on the podcast. We'll be nice to you. Gents, thank you so much for joining this week. It's much appreciated. It's been great for the rarity of this season to actually be able to talk about a game and not have to hide about it. So thank you also to Darren Moore for doing that. As ever, we really appreciate you coming and listening to us. If there's anything about this podcast you didn't like, let us know. If there's anything you do like, let us know. If you want to come on it, give me a shout. You know where to find me. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again next week on Woodman Corner.